Democrats will be running lots of candidates for state assembly this fall. New legislative maps have energized the party, but analysts predict that Republicans will retain their majority. It's Friday, June 7th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin has filed a lawsuit against Milwaukee. Evan Casey tells us why. And Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says enrollment will likely be affected by a delayed rollout of federal student aid forms. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
Democrats will compete for more seats in the Wisconsin legislature than Republicans will this fall. There are Democratic candidates competing in all 16 Senate races on the ballot. They also have candidates running in 97 of the state's 99 assembly districts, the party's largest slate of candidates since 2011. Meanwhile, Republicans have 11 candidates for Senate and 84 for the assembly. Most experts predict Republicans will keep their majorities in both chambers, but University of Wisconsin-La Crosse political science professor Anthony Chergosky says the assembly is, quote, where the action is.
Although I believe Republicans are currently the favorite to win the majority control of the state assembly, Democrats definitely have a fighting chance, and that's more than we could say for any number of previous election cycles.
Chergosky says Democrats had an easier time recruiting candidates because of excitement over new legislative maps. The American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin has filed a lawsuit against Milwaukee over its protest rules for the upcoming Republican National Convention. As Evan Casey reports, that's after the city passed an ordinance limiting when and where protests can take place.
The city has yet to announce where rallies and marches can be held, but it's limiting protests to 7 hours a day along a set parade route. Tim Muth is a staff attorney with the ACLU of Wisconsin, which filed the lawsuit on behalf of the Coalition to March on the RNC 2024. That group is planning a protest for the first day of the convention.
Those limitations violate the First Amendment rights of expression and assembly of both the coalition and any other group that plans to be protesting during the time of the convention.
A spokesperson for the mayor said the city understands its responsibility to provide a space for people to demonstrate. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has confirmed that it's temporarily withholding more than $16 million in funding from Milwaukee Public Schools this month because of missing financial data. MPS is up to 8 months behind in filing required paperwork with the state. Controversy over the missed deadlines and potential financial fallout helped lead to the resignation of the district's superintendent this past week. DPI notified the district yesterday that it's withholding its June special education aid payment. In a statement, the agency said it's working with the district and, quote, remains optimistic that the payments can be released later this month. District leaders told reporters on Wednesday that they submitted the missing data this week. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says FAFSA completion rates are slowly improving, but Margaret Faust reports he told the Board of Regents yesterday that fall enrollment will likely be affected.
The free application for federal student aid is typically the first step for students seeking financial aid for college. The form was overhauled this year, causing delays. According to the National College Attainment Network, completion rates are down almost 14% in Wisconsin compared to this time last year. Rates are lower for low-income students and people of color. UW System President Jay Rothman says without financial aid offers, some students may not be able to go to college.
The ramifications of this are potentially significant. This is not just a delay. This could make the difference between whether or not somebody ultimately goes to school or doesn't.
Rothman says he doesn't know exactly how lower completion rates will affect fall enrollment, but he says it will not be positive. Margaret Faust, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, in today's episode of Wisconsin Life, we're taking a trip down memory lane in one man's childhood adventures. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a childhood adventure.
It's hard to forget those first tastes of independence as a child, when you embark on adventures with your friends that seem like life-altering rites of passage. Writer Ron Weber looks back fondly on one quest he took with his friends in the summer of 1976 in southeast Wisconsin when they were 12 years old.
On a Kenosha County map, it is known as the Kilbourne Road Ditch. But in my youth, it was the Yukon, the Colorado, or many other storied waters. Its muddy water coursed south through the farm fields and woods near my house in Summers, ultimately joining forces with the Des Plaines River. In a world bounded by how far my legs could carry me, it thrilled me when I learned water in this creek would eventually meet the mighty Mississippi and then the sea. Out of a childhood full of adventures, it was one trip there that stands out. We had planned the trip for the last day of school. My best friend Mike and I were the instigators of the adventure. We had invited a couple others, John and Tommy, who lived close enough in our rural world to be considered neighbors and therefore invitees to all our games. This would not be just a fishing trip, but an expedition. Like Magellan, DeSoto, and other great explorers we had learned of in school, we were going to explore sections of the creek that lied in the uncharted territory beyond Myers Fields. The excitement on the bus ride home was palpable. Once off the bus, it took only minutes for us to grab our fishing poles and bait and stuff some food and pop into a knapsack. Our grub included bologna and cheese sandwiches on Wonder Bread, an assortment of Hostess treats, as well as Coke in 12-ounce glass bottles. We hurried through the first mile or so. Navigation was entirely by fence line. We knew we had to go west to find the creek, so we turned at the first fence. The fence now turned north and we had a decision to make. Follow the relative safety of the fence or break out and go west cross country. West it was, at which we entered a brave new world. We were 12-year-olds who for the first time were not sure where we were heading. Each step, each new view expanded our world, though soon we would come to realize the world went far beyond the other side of Myers Fields. Suddenly, through a screen of trees and brush, there lay the creek below us. It was no longer the creek I had known and fished for years. Everything about it seemed different, mysterious. The rest of the trip was somewhat anticlimactic, but memorable. We pushed further north, pulling an occasional bullhead or carp out of deeper holes. We took a break long enough to sit and eat our food. Our conversation turning to baseball, the nuns at school, and of course, girls. The setting sun on our backs guided us home. I would argue we were not the same 12-year-olds that began this journey. We were growing, pushing boundaries, and expanding our horizons. That is what this trip was really all about. There would be many lessons to learn and decisions to make in the next few years. By the start of seventh grade that August, John would be plucked from our world forever, his family moving to Michigan. Loss, like change, is inevitable. Just one of life's lessons. In quiet moments, I sometimes find myself thinking of the journey and what lesson learned was most important. Looking back through the prism of time, one thing has become crystal clear. It may take a great deal of money and possessions to be considered wealthy, but any 12-year-old with a fishing pole, a few friends, and a creek or pond on the dawn of summer vacation can know what it means to be rich. I consider that one of the most valuable lessons I ever learned. Much too valuable to ever forget.
Ron Weber is a writer who lives in Weyerhaeuser. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and the people putting this show together behind the scenes today were John Davis and Mallory Chang. We'll be back in your podcast feed again Monday morning, so until then, have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.